Thank you to Rick and Sheila for bringing our readings this morning. As we reflect on them, let's pray. As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So this term has started, hasn't it? Yeah, that's right. Even for those of us whose kids aren't at school anymore. Anyway, so we're starting this term with a couple of sermons looking at big issues that have come up around the world over the last 6 months or so. And this week we're going to be thinking about COVID-19. And next week we're going to be looking at Black Lives Matter and the challenges of racial inequality. And I know, so I had feedback, that some of you feel that we've been a bit slow to react to this, and actually you would have welcomed an opportunity to reflect on these together earlier. And I think that critique is fair. We could have been more responsive and flexible in our plans and our sermon planning. But we are where we are, and perhaps making a virtue out of a necessity. It may be that the time that has elapsed might actually give us a slightly different perspective on these issues that will be helpful in our exploration. So, for instance, it seems to me that we're moving into a different phase of this whole COVID-19 thing. We're beyond the initial kind of crisis management and into a new long-term reality. For some of us, I think we kind of hoped that once the summer was out of the way and kids were back at school and college, it'd be like things would be getting back to normal. And it's clear that this isn't going to happen. We are now, I think, more and more facing the reality that we're in it for the long haul, that things are now fundamentally different. And many of them are not actually going to go back to the way they were for the foreseeable future. And that's been quite hard, particularly over the last couple of weeks. So, as we face up to this fact, what resources do we find in God's Word to guide us, to sustain us? What is God showing us? What is God calling us to? How do we live as faithful disciples in this new way of life and of being? And I'm sorry to disappoint, but I don't think I've got all the answers. If you were coming this morning hoping that you'd go away knowing exactly what was going to happen, no, not so much. But I do have some suggestions of some themes that have occurred to me as I've reflected on the Bible readings that we've had today. And these themes, which seem to me to weave in and out of each other through these readings, and actually through the whole of Scripture, the themes of grief, of trust, and of focus. Of grief, of trust, and of focus. The book of Lamentations does exactly what it says on the tin. Almost all of it is made up of songs and poems of grief and lamentation. Written in the aftermath of the invasion of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, the destruction of the temple, the exile of the people of God, it expresses the grief and anger of the survivors with brutal honesty. And one of the most remarkable features of this book of Lamentations is the way in which the writer unflinchingly ascribes responsibility for the suffering of the people to God and calls God to account. At the beginning of this morning's readings, we heard this: "He has broken my teeth with gravel, he has trampled me in the dust." We have to look back to the beginning of the chapter to discover who he is that has done these things. It says this, the writer writes, "I am the one who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath." He is the Lord. It's God that the writer says has done these things to him. The writer of Lamentations clearly sees the suffering he is living through as a result of God's action. And in the middle of our passage this morning, we read one of the few rays of light in the book, this reminder of God's great love. So here we find weaving together the permission to grieve and to be honest about anger and confusion before God with a call to remember that God is trustworthy, that God's compassion and faithfulness do not fail, and that when our soul is downcast, we can choose to focus on God's unfailing nature and to have hope. Why did Jesus wait 2 days? His disciples didn't understand why. It seems like they thought he was avoiding the people who were plotting to kill him in Jerusalem. But then Jesus says, right now, we're going. And it's clear that that wasn't a problem at all. That wasn't the issue. Mary and Martha were just left hanging. There's no text message or WhatsApp message to kind of say, oh, I'm on my way, or hold on, I'll be there in a couple of days. They don't know what's happening. They were just left to wait. Jesus makes a passing reference to this all working out for the glory of God. But even that is difficult to get our heads around. What's the first thing that Martha says to Jesus? If you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. I wonder, do we hear echoes of Lamentations? Somebody else in the Bible saying to God, you are responsible for this. And Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha for her presumption, but calls her deeper into faith, into belief, into trust. You see, it seems to me that this background of uncertainty, of not knowing, of not understanding, what not really getting what's going on, that's really important here, because it isn't trust if we know what's going on. It isn't trust. If there's no area of uncertainty, then it isn't trust. It's at times when we can't know or don't know that we choose to trust or not. And as the story moves on, we witness Jesus grieving with the family. He weeps with them. And one of the things that many of us have found difficult over the last 6 months is the fact that the kind of thing we read about here, families and communities getting together to grieve and mourn, hasn't been able to happen. Being robbed of the opportunity to have the funeral services that we would have wanted, of the comforting presence of friends and families at times of deep grief, has really hurt. It may be of some comfort to know that Jesus weeps with us, but it may not. This might be a loss that we have to lament, to have out with God, to lay at God's feet. But through it all, Jesus keeps calling Mary and Martha back to trust and focus, to trust him and not get distracted by the noise or all the people or the possibility of a bad smell, but to trust him and to focus on his promises. And as they do this, so they see resurrection and new life when that didn't seem possible. Grief, trust, and focus all woven together in this story of death and new life that foreshadows Jesus' own crucifixion and resurrection, in which we see the deepest grief, find the truest trust, and which is the focus of all history. Before we get to that, though, we hear Luke's from Luke's biography of Jesus about a conversation that Jesus had with his followers in the temple courts. This, you see, is the temple that was rebuilt in Jerusalem when the exiles returned from Babylon. It is proof in stone that God did not disappoint, but answered that glimmer of hope in Lamentations and brought the people home. To the disciples, it's not just a beautiful building, but a solid sign of God's faithfulness and redemption. It is one of the foundation stones of their faith, and Jesus takes it down. It's not going to last, he says. Not one stone will be left on another. That building that has been such an important part of the expression of your faith and worship, it's going. We've had a bit of a taste of that, but at least our building is still standing. Just imagine how you'd feel if I stood here one Sunday morning and announced that the time will come where there will be not one stone left on another of All Saints Building. How would you feel? I'd expect you'd want some details. The disciples certainly did. They knew the kind of grief it would cause. Lamentations-style grief. But Jesus doesn't give them details. He calls them to trust him and the Father, to not be distracted by the false teaching, the conflict, the famine, the plague, the pestilence, but to continue to focus on the main thing, the coming of the kingdom of God. In all three of our readings, there is uncertainty. Uncertainty in the face of exile. Uncertainty in the face of sickness and death. Uncertainty in the face of the future. And in all this uncertainty, the themes of grief, trust and focus are woven together in a way which I see making hope possible. It's in this time of uncertainty, of change, of facing the whole long haul of COVID-19, it seems to me that it's important that we're honest and open about what we're grieving for, and to bring that grief to God and to experience God grieving with us. When we have a lack of understanding and we are distressed, we're also invited to trust, to lean into the everlasting arms which will hold us. And finally, we are called to focus, not on the waves or the storm, but on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen.